Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Welcome everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Currie. I'm your presenter for this session. And Grey Power sponsors the session, and I have with me in the studio Margaret Blay, who is a Grey Power member and has been a long-standing organiser of the Mount Eden Climate Action Group. And so our focus this time is going to be on climate change, because the low carbon bill was passed in Parliament, and it's been very topical this week, and Grey Power put a submission in on that. So I thought it was very timely that we talk about it on air. So welcome to the show, Margaret.
Thank you.
And in your writings, in our latest newsletter, we were talking about what's been happening in the UK, what's been happening with the protest movement, so we'll touch on that. But would you first perhaps tell the listeners about Mount Eden Climate Action? What sort of a group is it, and in rough terms, what do they do on a regular basis?
Well, Mount Eden Climate Action Group, which I founded 4 years ago after the, must have been the 20, oh, the previous election to the last one, is based on the peace groups of the 1980s. It's a neighbourhood action group, and its intention is to inform and involve people at the household level in the climate issue. So to get people doing small, simple things like, for example, at the beginning, using less plastic bags, which none of us can, use single-use plastic bags anymore because the supermarkets aren't carrying them. So we have to buy something more durable. And things like using a car a bit less, and composting, and eating less beef, because to produce a kilo of beef produces one, now I think I've got these figures right, 1.3 kilos of carbon emissions. I mean, it's astounding, really is. And we do a street stall in Mount Eden Village approximately once a calendar month, and we give away, over the past year, it's been 75 to 100 information leaflets in the space of 2 hours.
That's that's quite phenomenal.
I think it's high, yeah.
Yes.
But the last stall I did, Anne-Marie, I was only there for an hour. I can't remember what I was doing, or it might have been the weather or something. I was only there for an hour, and I gave away about 75. I mean, the interest is growing hugely. Well, and it's been growing tremendously over the last 2 years.
It's interesting, because we've found the same thing with the Grey Power Facebook page. We found that people are really reacting to the posts. We're getting a lot of engagement. We're getting a lot of comment left, and people are very interested. And it doesn't matter what it is, if it's climate change related, we get a great big hit. And this is so much so that it's driven the fact that I've devoted 2 pages in the newsletter to the climate change issue, and then if you count including the submission as well, that's 3 pages actually. And then I'm doing this interview with you, and we will be, and we had a whole session on climate change at our monthly meeting recently, and you were there, of course. So you're aware of some of this, but what I'm also aware is that maybe our listeners aren't, because it's not something that we have traditionally gone for. But in the political spectrum, we're tending to focus on welfare and well-being of seniors. But a lot of seniors do worry about their grandchildren. They worry about their grandchildren's future. They care a lot about that. And so this is what is driving the reaction, I think, that on Facebook, and judging by the sorts of comments. And I think also that one thing that's been alarming me recently is what has been happening around the climate change movements and protest movements, where the youth and the school climate action has stepped up. And there seems to be a generational or opening for a generational warfare. Even the threat of violence towards seniors has been mooted recently. That is quite breathtaking in terms of where that might go. So there's a very strong self-need for seniors to become more aware and more joined up in terms of seeing where they can work together with youth and be on the same page understanding each other.
Well, in Extinction Rebellion, which I've recently become active in, meetings, let's see, the general meetings seem to, this is only a rough estimate on my part, seem to have about 30 people. And, well, let's say between 20 and 35, you know. And the number of grey heads is enormous. People have seen the photos from, or the videos from Britain of the Extinction Rebellion demonstrations. Just look at the number of grey heads. And there were a number of seniors at the last school strike. I know there's going to be a number of seniors at the next one, which is coming up. And a lot of the drive is coming from people, at least people with grey hair. I mean, they would be 50 up, in my estimation, and there are quite a number of people there in their 70s, you know. And the other interesting thing is, this is at a much quieter level of action. The people who stop and talk to me and tell me that they're already taking a lot of steps to reduce carbon emissions in their own household, very many of them are seniors. Of course, there are people from other age groups too, but rather frighteningly, the ones who go past saying, I'm all right, you know, I have the feeling that they're turning their head away even if they're actually looking at me. You know that feeling?
I do.
I'm fine, thanks, kind of comment. Tend to be people with younger kids. And I think the whole thing's for the kids. You know, I think seniors have taken stock of what's going on in the world around them, and some of us have got a little bit more time. And with, you know, it's the wisdom of age. You know, we've got a lot of things about the world figured out, and we see that our grandchildren, well, I haven't got grandchildren, but we see that the grandchildren generation are the ones who are really going to suffer if climate change is left unchecked. It can't be left unchecked. That's just sort of stupid idea, really. It's got to be reduced, otherwise the human race is doomed, because look at those extinctions of other life forms that we just heard about the other day, 1 million extinctions.
And that
of course endangers human life too.
Well, it does, because
everything's connected to everything else.
Everything is, and the bees, of course, keep it all going. I mean, we don't get our food supply if the bees are extinct. So it's pretty much on a knife edge. Now, that, of course, is still alongside a lot of people who are climate change deniers, and we do have those in our midst as well. And I had this conversation at lunch 2 days ago with a senior Grey Power leader from another part of the city. No, the sea's not rising, and it's just normal fluctuation of temperatures, which has happened over centuries, etc., etc. So, you know, these people are entitled to their views, and Grey Power's not forcing people to change their views. What we are doing is reporting on what's happening. So with the protests in Britain and the Extinction Rebellion protests there, that's brought into view the generational divide. And as you say, there were lots of grey hairs there, but on people's heads, but those heads didn't seem to get into the media coverage of the event. So the House of Lords was so concerned, they published a paper in the last 2 or 3 weeks in which they saw the threat of youth and seniors being poles apart. Now, they were really concerned about this danger of disruption to society, and they saw the threat so in such a black and white way that they considered such resentment and distrust between the generations had the risk of becoming a new norm, and they wanted to draw attention to that very swiftly. So I think that it's very interesting because a different thing's happening in New Zealand at the moment post the Christchurch quakes. We've got lots and lots of people coming together to talk in a way that they wouldn't have ever before, interface-wise. And some of that involves some intergenerational dialogue as well. So I think there's a kind of a new unity in New Zealand where we've redefined our values. I talk about that in the newsletter as well, which will be out shortly. But the key thing here is that we need to be very aware that we're not caught up in a media circus entirely. I put some references into the newsletter for people to go online and check some of these things out. But I guess the key thing that we need to focus on is what can people be doing? And your group, I thought, was very, that's why I got you on, because I thought you can actually talk about what your group has done. Mm-hmm. And I think it's groups like yours that have helped draw attention to the shift away from plastic bags. And there's been a lot of small-scale action up and down the country by a lot of groups about plastic bags, which has actually brought the momentum to a head to get more change from the government level. What I do notice, though, that and we don't always do things in a joined up way, even in New Zealand when we're such a small country and we could. I watched a video from the Department of Internal Affairs last night, and it's a new production used at the citizenship ceremonies. And in the introduction, they are showing a lot of diversity. Asians at local markets. I'm not sure if it was the Wesley Market or the Otara Market, because I was sitting side on to the video. I couldn't quite see it clearly. But what I did notice was the huge number of plastic bags being used to put the fruit and vegetables into. And I thought, well, there is one arena where people shop very cheaply, particularly where immigrants who aren't used to thinking about low carbon, it isn't part of the milieu where they come from, that sort of thinking. So it seems to be that's a loophole, that we are not perhaps educating people in the right settings about these things who are new to New Zealand. And
it's the stallholders as well, isn't it?
Yes. Now, I'll just finish that. This is a government production. This is a video that actually signals what New Zealand's about, and yet it's full of plastic bags. And I thought, there's something really wrong here. So I'm going to take that up further, because I think that we need to be sending the right messages to people, and we need to be sensitive about how we do this. Now, you mentioned using cars less and composting and reducing beef consumption. I don't think people have enough information about these. Perhaps cars, because people know about electric cars and people know the value of walking and cycling and using public transport. But we're still waiting for improvements in public transport, and I think footpaths are the bane of our lives, and it's something that gets strong reaction in meetings. So that's something that Greypower's talking about, the need to have a request into AT for a footpath strategy, so they actually do focus on footpaths properly rather than it falling in the cracks between the NZTA, the Transport Authority, which is government, central government, and the AT themselves. And, of course, central government's transport authorities in a bit of a disarray, state of disarray, and restructure at the moment. So it'll be a watch the space. But, you know, we're pushing the footpath strategy concept in different ways through different layers of Grey Power leadership and advocacy. So I think it's important for listeners to know that. Now, I'm also thinking about the kind of climate action change which the Mayor has focused on. and the Million Trees Project. And I believe that the millionth tree is going to be planted in June this year. And a lot of people might not be aware that all this tree planting has actually been going on. But Project Crimson started long before the mayor came along with the Million Trees program. That's been chugging along very well. And 100,000 trees were recently planted in Mount Roskill over 18 months, and they've been put into the Oakley Creek Te Awanga project. Now, this is really good that open space is benefiting and that we're actually trying to replace a lot of the trees that have been cut down in Auckland. But from my understanding of the council's Ngāhere strategy is that the trees above 30 metres are the ones that actually produce the oxygen and actually purify the environment, and they're the ones that really impact on our air quality and on our health the most. And it's those big trees that are being chopped by the developers that it takes a lot of tree growth and a lot of years to replace them. So even though there's all this tree planting going on, it isn't necessarily producing a canopy that's a 30%, 30 metres plus. So we have a shortfall in terms of we've got a lot of tree planting going on, but we've got a lot of trees being removed, and it's not really improving the situation. No. So I think we need to make that very clear to people that there is a need for more action. And the other thing is that there is a need for the groups that clear the environment, that reduce the pest waste and the weed waste. And there are several groups like Friends of Oakley Creek, Friends of Wairākei Stream, and Friends of Te Taitua Atiuta, which is Big King in the Three Kings area. So there's three groups that I'm aware of just in central Auckland, just in a quite a close radius. And it's very interesting that Mount Eden is the centre of many. Mount Eden and Mount Roskill are the sort of fight back centre for central Auckland. I think there's more groups concentrated in the 5 to 7K radius, and there's more action, and I believe that there's a lot of work going on around moth plant and around that weeping dew plant. Transcendia.
Wandering Willy.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Yes, Wandering Willy. Yes. And so that it's a lot of people will know about these things, but they often don't know what to do. And a lot of seniors haven't got the strength to tackle their own backyards, and the kind of weeds get out of control. So I think that it's really important. I'll give some information on who to contact if they want groups to come and help them, or if they want to join groups. So I'll be doing that later on. I'm just wondering also, have you got any further comments based on the fact that you were at the meeting last week? And at the meeting, there was a lot of enthusiasm for people to take action, and you had some ideas and some others had some ideas. I wondered if you'd like to talk about those.
Well, so we're not keeping the action plan under wraps?
No, we're not keeping anything under wraps. We've got to get out and talk as much as possible.
Okay, well, we were talking about stickers for your mailbox and stickers for your car. Now, obviously, if you're using your car and the car is carrying a bumper sticker saying we ought to reduce our carbon emissions, people are going to look at you a bit askance and say, you know, this is pretty hypocritical. But not if your bumper sticker carries a message saying your household is a climate action household. So, it's almost impossible to get out of our cars completely. I use my car as little as I possibly can. I walk and take a bus because I'm lucky I'm healthy and I can walk. But that doesn't apply to everyone. I don't think people should be guilt-tripped because they have to use their car. The important thing is you do what you can. And so we were talking about a mailbox sticker and a bumper sticker, which you know, obviously you can have either or both, saying something like, greenhouse gas reduction zone or climate action zone, rather like the stickers that we used to have in the peace movement saying nuclear free zone. Mm. And your bumper sticker could say, my household is a greenhouse gas reduction zone, or my household is a climate action zone. I think greenhouse gas reduction zone is a bit sharper, actually. It's more specific, less ambiguous. And those are the ones that I was talking about. There was another one as well, wasn't there? Somebody else was talking about another action that we could do. I can't quite remember what it was now.
Well, I think the people were keen to take action, and that's the key thing. If people were motivated, it wasn't just a talk feast.
No, and that group at the meeting was really charged up.
Yes, that's right.
Really wanting to get into it, yeah.
Yes, and then we had Shane who came in and demonstrated his folding electric bike, which was really, really interesting because I guess that there are ways of getting around that a lot of people remember pushing a push bike and they don't want to return to those days, and I don't blame them when they, you know, rode in all winds and weathers and that was their only choice. I can understand the comfort of cars, but... And electric cars are still too expensive. Somebody said to me yesterday, we need to look at whether a subsidy can be brought in to help people to change.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that too. A second-hand electric car is far beyond me.
Hmm.
You know, I have the money, but how do I pay my rates?
Well, exactly. And these are the choices that people are up against. I mean, even for people to insulate their houses, subsidies have been a critical part of it. Healthy homes, part of that project where the local boards help fund people, that also involves getting rid of drafts and doing other things to support the insulation so it's more effective. Heavy drapes is very important. So I guess that there's a whole lot of areas we can focus on. We can focus on what we eat. We can focus on how we move around in terms of transport. But a lot of the choices are out of our control in that space. And then I think awareness raising of how do you nudge people along to make better choices. And I think the plastic bag movement did very well with posters and slogans and small ways of nudging people to think about things. And I think your original idea of the stickers and the way other people have climbed on board with it, I think it's all very well. And I think what it will take is a group like Grey Power to get in behind and actually fund these stickers. And certainly, we've yet to talk about that with the committee and see what the reaction is. But I think there's a lot to be said for it. I think there's a lot of ways of doing it. How we fund it and so on. Bear in mind that there's money available in the waste management strategy at council to apply to do things in that zone. At the moment, climate change is still a fairly new thing. The government's carbon zero bill was only passed this week, so we're not quite sure how that might affect what funding might be available. So there'll be a lot of unknowns as we sort of sift and sort through this, but it would be really nice to be able to go into action in the springtime. And, of course, that idea of the boomerang bags that we came up with as well, where we work with the Gribblehurst Hub and we have access to the sewing machines and the bulk cloth that's recycled or donated, and we can simply use the templates and make the bags. And of course it's an opportunity for Grey Power to advertise on the bags alongside the business association logos and other sorts of logos, but with the climate action slogan to remind people. So the bags then are available at retailers in a selected area, not the big shops like Countdown, because they have their own and they don't want to compete, but these are sort of for people shopping at dairies and small places, hardware stores and things.
My local greengrocer is getting out of plastic bags.
Mm.
Just talking to one of the family that runs it the other day, and they've been selling reusable bags for a long time.
Our concept would be that they would not be have to be sold, and that people would pick them up in a store, and they would there would be a number of stores in the scheme, and you would be able to return them to any of those stores.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, there are several things about climate change that I'd like to say, because very very broad points. One is fear, and one is visibility.
Right.
I think the more we make action against climate change normal, the more people will realise that anyone can help.
That is a very, very cogent point, yes.
And so if we have the bumper stickers, and if we have the stickers on the mailbox, there's been a very good mailbox sticker around for quite a long time saying this household wants action on climate change. Well, this household needs to do action on climate change.
Exactly.
Some people are so afraid of the issue that they push it aside, they push it out of their mind. Mm. It's like the psychic numbing that Helen Caldicott talked about at the beginning of the nuclear-free discussion that we had so fruitfully in the 1980s.
Yes,
people block it out of their mind because it's too big to cope with. Now, if it be... the main thing to understand here is that one person can do very, very little. They can eat a little bit less meat, they can use their car less, they can, you know, they can stop using plastic bags, but one person's action doesn't go very far. But put a whole lot of people together and it goes very, very far indeed. Mm. That's how everybody won the vote.
Exactly.
That's how New Zealand got its nuclear-free legislation.
Mm.
And...
yes, and I think that's a very, if I could comment, that's a very important point, Margaret, because I do hear quite often people say, oh, but there's all those millions in China and they're busy polluting at a fast rate of knots and, you know, our little bit's not going to make any difference. And I think that that's a very unfortunate way of looking at things, because nothing ever has been improved on the planet without having a movement of people doing it. And we're very good at that. We've done it before. We've led the world before, and I don't see why we shouldn't do it again.
And it's happening all over the world as well. People may remember how hard it was to get people in the US, or it seemed hard to get people in the US to take up the nuclear issue. Well, there were pockets of nuclear-free action all over the states, but a lot of people never heard of them. Now, here in New Zealand, it's easier, partly because we're a smaller population. A lot of us have forgotten about political action. We were used to marching in the days of the peace movement because we'd marched against the Springbok tour.
That's right.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of us have done that. We're starting to get back to that again. I'll return to Extinction Rebellion.
Yes.
It's a very stroppy outfit.
Mm.
It talks about urgency, and I think it is an urgent issue. Hearing about those million creatures that we've made extinct it just absolutely horrifies me. We have to take responsibility. We have to not let more creatures become extinct because of our apathy. But it's the things that anybody can do. It's the bumper stickers. It's the badges. Somebody needs to produce a badge. Extinction Rebellion is talking about producing a badge. And there are T-shirts. You have to do stuff. You can't just wear stuff. You know, you have to actually do something practical in your own life. But the more it becomes clear that it's ordinary to take action, to really take action against climate change, the more people will start to understand that they can do it too.
Yes, and on that note, we have to finish off because our program time is coming to an end. But I very much thank you for coming on the program. This is a watch the space, and we will have things unfolding. And I invite people to have a look at the newsletter. And if you're not a Grey Power member, they're in the libraries next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you again. Bye.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.